Blog Talk Radio.
Fix it, Jesus. How many times have we heard that over the years? We always want Jesus to fix our mess. Funny thing is, we never, ever, ever get with the Holy Ghost before we dive headfirst into trouble. Christians love that song, Jesus will fix it after a while. Well, he will or he won't. Either way, the onus of building a relationship with him falls squarely on our shoulders. This morning, we're going to tell you why Jesus ain't going to fix it when you can do it yourself. It ain't popular preaching, but that's where we are today. Hang on. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome once again to Pathways of Truth Radio. I'm your host, Nick Danger, coming to you this beautiful Sunday morning in the Carolinas with the blue skies, no bugs, no humidity, no heat, just perfect day. Brother Frank, good morning to all you carnal brothers. Happy Father's Day. If y'all don't get y'all two kids and y'all brand new golf clubs today, y'all going to be all upset. And y'all going to be calling on Jesus to fix it. Come on, man. Wake up. Let's go.
Man, welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the show, Pathways to Truth Nation. Yeah, man. We ready here in the Carolinas, man. We ready to roll here in the Carolinas, man. Oh, man, what a topic, man. I think, man, we done had to postpone this topic a few times or something, man. For fixing Jesus.
Yeah.
Man, like, we finally getting around to fixing Jesus.
We got him in the house, and this morning I want to make an announcement and tell you why Jesus ain't going to fix it when you can do it yourself. Oh, I know all the religious folks is upset because we're messing with their song. Frank, I can't wait till we do our show in the next month about the 2,000-year-old Jesus.
Oh,
see,
this
why Christians won't let their 2,000-year-old Jesus go. We're going to do a show on that next month. But the reason why they won't let this 2,000-year-old Jesus go because they want Jesus to fix it. I can't stop laughing because I've been laughing all morning thinking about this.
Yeah.
He said, Brother Frank, I want you to take this away. Jesus ain't going to fix it when you can do it yourself.
Man, Brother Nick, I tell you, man, that is so true, man. And, you know, it took me a minute. It took me a minute, you know. Once my religious serum rant wore off on me, man, after I got delivered by the Holy Ghost and that religious serum wore out on me, man, then I was able to see clearly, man, that, hey, man, I got to do this myself, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus has already given me the tools. It's already giving me the tools, man, to fix stuff myself, man. So I had to realize that, man. I had to gird up my loins, put on my breastplate and my helmet, and I had to go to battle, man. You know
what
I'm saying? But Nick, one of the reasons why, man, I think we stuck on that 2,000-year-old Jesus, man, is that we don't know God's will. We don't know our authority. You know, we don't know our ability because we simply, man, we say this all the time, man. We simply have lazy folks, man, that just don't want to, man, they just don't want to read and study and meditate God's word, man, to see how to apply his word to our lives, man. So So we end up asking Christ ridiculous things, man, to get us out of, man.
Yeah.
You know, so because we have a word deficiency, we do not know how to apply Christ's life to our life so we can live a prosperous, peaceful, loving, joyful life, man, in Christ, man. So we're gonna talk about this morning, though, man. We're going to talk about this, man. And, hey, man, let's take our time and go through this, man.
Good deal. I was thinking this morning. This week, I've taken a little time off with writing a blog. I was kind of refreshing myself and but I got a clear picture this morning. I had been up writing, and I'm writing about our spiritual DNA. And so I'm asking the question. I'm looking at this new man versus the old man, Brother Frank. We're talking about why people need Jesus to fix stuff today.
Yeah.
We're talking about the lazy Christian who does not immerse himself or herself into the relationship. Okay, I was thinking about New Year's Day, Brother Frank.
Okay.
How everybody spends all this time during the course of the year accumulating all of this baggage. All of these bad habits, all of these negative relationships, and then all of a sudden, in a span of 24 hours, they think there's going to be this transformation. They go, they sit down at their desk in their house, and they write down, these are the list of things that I want to change. They pour over magazines and videos and other things. I'm going somewhere, y'all. Give me a minute here. And they read all of these other thoughts of other men. And they take all these different thoughts together and they condense it down to a sheet of paper and they say, this is my New Year's resolution. New Year's Day comes, the ball drops in Times Square. Everybody's psyched up to go to the gym for about 3 or 4 days. And then after that, they're back to double orders of chicken wings, 6 slices of pizza, and double meat on their subs.
Oh, okay. My Lord.
So the new man, the Word of God says this. This is Ephesians, one of my favorite books in the Bible. He said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. These are non-believers. Gentiles are non-believers. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, put off the old man, which grows corrupt, according, listen to this, to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, put the new man on, take the old man off, which was created according to God, and true righteousness and holiness. So I'm going to make this last statement. I'm going to let you come in. I know you're about ready to bust. I know you're about ready to bust, Brother Frank. I can feel it. But hang on. Okay, so Paul tells us to the church of Ephesus, everything in you is corrupt. Your heart is jacked up. Your mind is jacked up. Everything that you are connected to, y'all see this man, y'all hear him, but y'all don't hear him, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The sound is audible, but you're not really listening or ingesting what he's saying. And lastly, he said that you have accumulated all of this baggage over the course of a year or your whole life that's consumed with your, again, your spiritual DNA is determined by who your father is. If your father is the devil, then all the characteristics and traits and tendencies will be that of Satan. And if your father is the Lord God, then all your traits and characteristics and tendencies will be that of the Lord God. It's not rocket science. So lastly, as and I'm closing with this, Brother Frank, you come on in after this. If as you are pursuing the things that you are going after in your life that are not righteous and holy, and that are not connected to God, and they're expecting God-like results, you are deceiving yourself. And ultimately, these are the people who are calling on Jesus to fix things. Amen.
Wow. That's a mouthful. I love it though, because you hit the crux of it when you said that, when you talked about the old man.
Yeah.
See Nick, you gave me the revelation, man. What has happened to most Christian non-believers is that they gave their life to Christ, but they kept the old man.
Yeah.
Okay. The old man is not dead.
Nope.
The old man is alive and well. That's the reason why when you ask Christ to do things outside of his will, and you expect for God to change things in your life, you're outside of his will.
Yeah.
And you're asking for God to fix it, and it's not within his will.
Nope.
Like for an example. For an example. You have a wife, a loving wife, and two beautiful kids, and your girlfriend just told you that her cycle is late, and you call on Jesus to fix it.
Excellent example.
You.
Excellent.
You. Bruh, they have been working for 15 years, and they just financed their new car 5 months ago, and last week you just found out that you was getting laid off your job. Now you praying to Jesus to fix it, because you know Jesus is supposed to know that, you know, you need to make your car payment. Listen, man. All of my brothers got my dad the perfect Father's Day gift, and I can't think of anything but calling him and saying Happy Father's Day, so I call on Jesus to fix it. My little nephew went to jail and called Uncle Frank to bail him out, and I called on Jesus to fix it. Well, in this example, your girlfriend went ahead and had the baby. Your car got repossessed. Your dad talking junk about you, and your nephew is still in jail. Jesus fixed it. oh man. See, Brother Nick, man, yeah. People won't do Jesus to fix their husbands, fix their wives, fix their children, fix their jobs. Anything that is broken, they want Jesus to fix it, man. Anything that's broken in their lives, man. We're walking in so much carnality, and we don't know God's word and His will, and we listening to. Let me slow down. Lee Williams said, "Whatever it is, Jesus will fix it."
Yeah.
Al Green said that you stay up all night, but that's all right. Jesus will fix it after a while.
Yeah.
Bro, we take these things and we think we can apply these things to our lives, and they're not even, we're doing stuff outside of God's will. And we expect them to pray to Him to fix our mess.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough of that. So we're gonna just like you said at the beginning of the show, Nick. We're gonna be talking about why Jesus is not gonna fix up for you.
I think the wonderful balance of the life of a believer is that once you truly cross over into kingdom citizenship, the reward, listen to this, is going to sound strange. The reward of kingdom citizenship is adversity, trials, and tribulation. This is the promise of Christ Jesus. I mean, he don't sugarcoat it. He doesn't mislead you. He tells you, you will have trouble. You will suffer for my name's sake. Okay. The beautiful part about the relationship with Christ is that he and with this warning comes the equipping in order for you to be able to deal with it. And he's not sending you out there on your own. Okay. Let's take the example, Brother Frank, that you just gave us of the man who is married, who has two beautiful children, but he's an adulterer.
Yes, sir.
According to the word of God, he can't inherit the kingdom. Not my words. Jesus' words. In the book of Matthew, Jesus lists a whole bunch of folks that will not inherit the kingdom of God, and of course an adulterer is one of them. Okay, so now, if you are an adulterer, let me help you. Don't ask Jesus for nothing. Unless you are asking Him to help you stop being an adulterer.
Yes.
Okay. That's the only thing He can help you with. He's not going to help fix your baby, your bastard child outside of your family. He's not going to do that. He's not gonna miraculously terminate this pregnancy on your behalf. He's not gonna take away the guilt and the shame that you're gonna encounter once your baby is born and your secret has been revealed. Not gonna do that. He's not in the business of covering up your mess like that. But if you repent and you say, Lord God, I have sinned. I'm way out of pocket on this one. I need you to give me the strength to suffer and then make it right.
Yes.
To live a holy and righteous life, to put this woman away in terms of the relationship and get it right with my wife and kids and move on.
Yes.
But He can heal you in that regard. See, these are the things, Brother Frank, that become an epidemic in the life of a Christian, where you said this. I want you to respond to this. You said that we give Jesus, we keep our, when you say we keep our old man and give Jesus a part of us, I say we give Jesus our face, the public face, but we keep Satan's heart. That's what we do. We give Jesus the public face, that face that's, oh, woe is me, as if he can't determine that we're not being real. And then, but we keep Satan's heart, which allows us to continue to do all of the dark stuff, the stuff we do at night that we think Jesus can't see.
Oh,
now deal with that.
And then we go to the sanctuary, and they say we lift up holy hands and we worship God.
Right.
Worshiping the Father, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But we learned last week that true worship is, I can have a girlfriend. I got a wife and two kids. I can have a girlfriend, and I can get away with it. Nobody will find out. I'm going to keep my mouth closed, and I'm not going to tell anybody, not even my best friend. I'm going to keep it to myself. I can get away with it. I got it all thought out, all planned out. Worship is, but I don't do it.
Yeah. That's
See,
it. That's worship.
Worship is, I can get away with it, Nick. I can keep it hidden from other people. But, Nick, the problem is I'm trying to hide it from the wrong person. Listen, it's okay for people to think, for God to see it. I don't want my wife to see it, though. It's okay for God to see me doing it, but I don't want my wife to see me.
Yeah.
See, man, that's the devil's heart.
That's the devil's heart. That's it right there, Brother Frank. And that's listen, you know what? That man that stays in worship, or that woman that stays in worship, they don't need Jesus to fix nothing. You stay in right relationship with Christ. You don't have to be calling him to fix nothing. At the end of the day, all of the calamities of man, you can do murder, homicide, cancer, you just go right down the list. Those things are going to happen to believers. It happens every day, because we are immersed in the midst of wickedness. This is a sinful world we live in. These mass murders, mass shootings, all this stuff like this, these are things that God is allowing because man, he has turned man over to himself. In every venue, in every corner, in every quarter, man has resisted God and told God to get out of here. Get out of the schools. Get out of, we don't want you in our government. We don't want you in this. We don't want you in that. But as soon as, and so Satan now, he has autonomy, complete freedom to do all the things that he's fully enjoying, engaging in terms of limiting God's people. And then the people, the wicked folks, are the ones calling on God.
Oh, my God,
this is crazy. This is crazy. So these are the people that are saying, we want to have a moment of silence. We want to pray for the victims of this city or that city. Look, man, none of that stuff, it's a hard word, Brother Frank, but none of that stuff means nothing. That stuff don't even rise to the level of the kingdom where God's even considering this stuff, because this is what y'all have chosen to do. Look, let me give you a perfect example. Your house is a microcosm of the kingdom of God. What man's going to come into your house and slap your wife and walk out without any resistance from you? Okay, that's my point right there. So that's what's happening right there. That's a snapshot of what we are dealing with as it relates to the moral and spiritual decay of our society, and how individuals who could have an impact, the quote-unquote Christians, could have an impact on the communities where they live if they were to extending Christ's love to the people who need it desperately, including the people who come every week. These are the people we call Christian non-believers. The Christian non-believer is the person who is a Christian in name only. But in their heart, they are Satan's kids. But their face belongs to Jesus. Now, I can't make it any plainer than that.
Almighty. That right there, we need to repent just from that right there.
Yeah.
We need to repent just from that right there, man. You fall down on your knees and repent and ask the Lord to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, man, and to clean you up, man.
Yeah.
That right there, man, is heart. That's heart wrenching, man. That breaks my heart right there. You know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
man? This is serious. This is serious because God depends on us, especially us men, fathers, to have dominion and to demonstrate his example in this earth, man. So
yeah.
so you made me think about, Nick, when I decided to stop being lazy, stop fooling around, and I really started to delve into God's word and study God's word and meditate God's word, I was thinking and believing foolishness about how Jesus would fix everything that was messed up in my life, man. It was foolishness the way I was thinking about this foolishness, man.
Yeah.
When I started delving in his word, Brother Nick, man, and the more I studied, it was telling me, man, you don't have to stay up all night and it'll be all right and Jesus will fix it. The word was telling me, man, go to sleep and rest, man. I'm the Lord God, man. I don't sleep or slumber. What you doing staying up all night for?
Yeah.
It was a total opposite of what he said. Now I got a meditation, man, when you were saying that, man. I meditated God's word, man. He said that, but Frank, man, I was wounded for your transgression. I was bruised for iniquity. And as I meditated that, Nick, he said that he was bruised for my iniquities. Well, my iniquities are... I'm leaning towards sinning.
Yeah.
I haven't sinned yet, but I'm thinking about it. It's underneath my skin, and if I get a chance to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm leaning towards doing it, though.
Yeah.
Okay, wrong mean that I did it. Look, I got cut. I bruised, and the bleeding is underneath the skin, and it's hurt when I touch my bruise, but it's underneath my skin. I don't have a wound, though. The blood is not coming out. I don't have an open gash. So I was just bruised, but it still hurt me. But it's happening. It's bleeding underneath my skin. When I get wounded, that my skin is cut open and the blood comes out. See, Jesus was bruised for me leaning towards sin, and he was wounded for me sinning.
Yeah. That's
man,
it.
Bro, I felt so bad, man. I felt so bad that I was just leaning toward doing it. I hadn't even did it yet. And he was bruised and beaten for that, man, for me just leaning toward sinning, man.
Yes.
Look. For me, leaning toward thinking about I need to have me a girlfriend. I got a wife and two kids already, but I'm leaning toward I need to give me a girlfriend too. Man, he was bruised and beaten for that.
Yep.
Oh man.
So, look at that. So now, so this is the remedy. This is why the word is so awesome, man. When you sit down and you break it down for whoever, see, whoever wrote that song, I know this is not going to be popular. I don't care. They obviously were not a believer because Jesus fixed it already.
Yes, sir.
You just got finished saying, the word says your inclination and your demonstration of sin, or your inclination towards it and your demonstration of having already done it, Jesus took the stick for that.
Yes.
The fact that you even thought about doing it, or the fact that you actually did it, he fixed that when he went to Calvary. So the anything that the deep seated stuff, this includes, Brother Frank, only manifests as a thought, and the stuff that manifests as an actual deed.
Mm-hmm.
That means the stuff that's so deep seated in your heart that the average man and woman does not know what they're capable of unless an opportunity presents itself to do it. You mentioned that a few seconds ago. If that the inclination to do sin is only stopped by our inability to have the opportunity. But if we had the opportunity, we would do it.
Yes.
Without question. Boy, you got to sit down and think about that for a second. What would I do if I knew that I could get away with it?
Mm.
How about that?
Nick, that face that you're talking about now, Nick, okay, I know I shouldn't do it, but I do it.
Yeah.
Okay, I do it, Nick, and get away with doing it, and then go to the church on Sunday morning and say I'm going to lift up holy hands.
Yes, sir. Satan loves that Christian because that Christian is not a threat to the kingdom of darkness.
Not a threat at all, man.
Not a threat. See, this man, this woman, these are hypocrites.
Yeah.
Jesus talks about them too. But watch this now. Jesus took the whip for the hypocrite too.
Yes, sir.
See, every manner, that's what this is, what a transgression is. A transgression means to cross the line.
That's
there's
right.
A line drawn. There's a line of holiness, righteousness, of piety. There's a line. Jesus is the line.
Yes.
When you cross over that line, transgression, okay, to cross over into wickedness and darkness, you stepping over him from safety into peril. I don't have the hedge of protection around me anymore. How they used to build the cities of ancient days used to be fortified with moats and high walls and guards and gates to protect the citizens of that city from foreign invaders or neighboring enemies. There was a 24-hour, 7 days a week, 365 days a year vigil of men rotating as sentries or guards to watch out to see if an invasion was coming. And the only time anybody ever set foot outside that wall were hunting parties or to go defend a certain territory or to help an ally. Okay, so now think about an individual that says there's a breach in the wall. Man, I'm tired of being in here protected. I'm sneaking through this little crack in the wall. This is a person who's never been outside the wall. They've only heard stories. Follow me, Brother Frank. They've only heard stories about what's going on outside the wall. They've never been outside the wall. They go outside the wall, and they say, oh, my goodness. I had no idea it was this rough out here.
Yeah.
But now, when they turn around to come back, the gate's up, the moat is filled with crocodiles, and all of the arrows and spears are aimed at them. Because now they say, what are you doing out there? You're supposed to be in here. Are you a traitor? Are you a spy? We don't even recognize you anymore. See, once you step out, this is what I'm saying. Once you take off the face and you go on the outside, for the believers, you're not even recognizable anymore. And immediately they assume that you're a traitor, that you've crossed sides, that you got to be one of Satan's kids now. Because you know why, Brother Frank? As a son of God, we don't do that. We obey. We do our father say stay in, we stay in. Another calamity of the people who are committed to the kingdom of darkness.
Man, Brother Nick, man, you just took me all the way back to the beginning, man. To the garden, man.
Yes, sir.
Man, you took me back you took me back before the garden. You took me back before Adam and Eve. That's what I'm talking about. You took me back to, man, God has made me as a believer in his image and after his likeness. Meaning, he made me an exact duplication in kind. In his kind. In other words, God created an exact duplicate of himself and let me have dominion.
Yes.
That's the believer's walk. Man, Nick, the more I read about the authority that Christ walked in, the more I realized that he was just trying to show me how Adam lived before sin. See, Christ is to demonstrate to us how we should be walking before sin come about.
Yep.
You can defeat that. Oh, okay,
yes.
Listen, man. He said that, Big Brother Jude said that, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory without exceeding joy, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, to glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. He said that as a believer, bruh, God had the ability to keep you from falling.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Listen, bro, now I know how a pastor can get his girlfriend pregnant in his congregation and the first lady is sitting there.
Yeah.
Look, he's not a believer.
Yep.
Look, man, and we still falling for and listening to a pastor standing in the pulpit, a non-believer.
Yep.
Listen, man. Big Brother Nick, man. Christ taught me that I have the authority as a believer to fix things myself.
Yes.
So the only thing that Christ really wanted me to see from him is to help me to change my spiritual mindset.
Absolutely.
When you in this state, man, you so beneath in your thinking. Bro, just think about it, man. Man, you know how beneath in our thinking we were, man.
Yes.
Man, when I came over to Christ as a believer, man, I could not believe how so beneath in my thinking I was, man. Man, I couldn't believe, man, I was giving away my legacy and giving a church 10% of my earnings, man. And just giving away the legacy of my family, man.
Wow.
Man, until I repented of my sin and surrendered all to the Father and relied on the Holy Spirit to help me with faith and studying the Bible on how Jesus lived taught me that I have authority as a believer, man.
That's it.
So I learned how to act on my God-given authority. See, it's all about my authority, not my ability.
Yeah.
See, I don't have, as a believer, I don't have the ability to open up blind eyes. I don't have the ability to loose stuttering tongues. You know, I don't have that ability, but I know who have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Holy Ghost, man.
Yes.
It's the one and true God who has that ability. The only thing I have to do is, as a believer, use the authority that I learned from Christ, and then I got to mix that with God's ability. See, I use my authority to speak to myself. Look, man, you're a believer, man. You ain't walking around here with no girlfriend. What kind of foolishness is that, right? See, mm-hmm. I had to use my authority over myself. Man, you ain't gonna be in debt. What you doing being in debt, man? We doing all the credit cards and car payments and house payments. Man, you can't even go anywhere with your family, man. What kind of foolishness is that, man? Man, you better use your authority and get yourself out of that situation. As a matter of fact, just come on out right now.
Yeah. That's it. That's a beautiful thing. And see that is, and you do that with peace.
Yes, sir.
See, the one thing that I love about the Lord God is, and the confidence that you have in Christ, is that this is a steady journey. You talk about ability meaning authority. See, it was the ability of Christ to baptize with fire
mm-hmm.
and with the Holy Ghost. Okay, but Jesus, the Bible says, baptized no one. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I said, Jesus baptized no one. But he gave us the authority to baptize.
Yes.
With fire and the Holy Ghost. So he says to put people in position through teaching that they might receive the impartation of the Holy Spirit from God. Not from me, not from you, but that same word. Now, I'm not speaking any different word than the Holy Spirit is speaking, because the Holy Spirit said Jesus didn't baptize anybody. Jesus also said, during all of those miraculous feedings, the Bible says Jesus didn't feed anybody.
Yes.
He told the disciples to feed them. Now, a lot of times, I got into an argument with a preacher one time when I told him that Jesus never fed anybody.
Yeah.
He said, right here, Brother Nick, the Bible says Jesus feeds 5,000. I said, that is a tense.
That's right.
He led the inspiration of the act, but he didn't demonstrate it physically. The Bible says right here that the disciples did it.
Yeah.
We are disciples of Christ. He has empowered us. He has given us authority to do all the things. That's why I said in the very first thing, the Holy Spirit said, don't miss, if you don't do nothing else, and you and Frank don't do nothing else, tell them that I'm not going to do anything that they can do themselves. And that has been God's mantra. That's his mantle. That's who he is. He could reach down and pluck Moses right out of the desert if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ himself, the Bible says, could have called on 10,000 angels to save him. But he didn't do it. See, a part of a believer's walk, once you cross over into kingdom citizenship, is that you get the revelation of your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what your fate is. You understand what your legacy is. You have the same legacy as Christ. See, here's the thing. It's no different. My legacy as a believer is the same as yours. They're just different people inheriting the legacy. But the legacy of peace, love, and joy in the Holy Spirit is the transferable spirit that I want to get to my family. I'm sure that's the same one that you want to give to Tiff and your daughters and your future grandkids.
Yes, sir.
Your brothers and sisters. I mean, everybody. I mean, this is who we are. Okay, that same spirit is transferable to the man or woman who I meet in the street, or to the brothers that are still writing me that we met 3-4 years ago in prison. That spirit, I know, is transferable, you know, because they're telling me in black and white. Yeah, Brother Frank, Brother John, Brother Fuego, we miss y'all, man. But y'all spirits are still with us, and the words that you guys gave us are still alive and burning in our spirits. My God, I mean, what else can I say to that?
Wow.
You want to talk about your impact on the life of another man or woman as a believer, where you can, when you can share Jesus, when you can point Jesus Christ to Muslims or talk to us like this, and to people who said they didn't even believe in God,
yeah,
people who practice sorcery and all this other kind of stuff, that the Lord God is still gnawing away at that mountain of doubt and fear and anger and betrayal. That's why we don't need Jesus. Jesus already fixed it, man. We don't need Jesus to fix that stuff. We need to stop being babies and punks and go after this thing in a way that will make Christ glorified. And listen, this is not hard. That's it, Brother Frank. This is not hard.
Man, what a word, man. Bruh, that's why Jesus himself said that he was not doing the work.
No.
But that it was the Father that was within him that was doing it.
Yes.
See, in other words, Jesus was exercising the authority given him by the Father.
Yep.
Hey, man, there was another place where the word says that Jesus taught as one having authority. Big Brother Mark told us that of a time that Jesus cast out a devil out of a man who was possessed, and the people who observed him doing it said that with authority commanded he even the unclean spirit, and they do obey him. I don't do foolish things and turn around and ask Jesus to fix it.
No.
Jesus had the authority, but God supplied the ability.
Yes.
And I don't have to depend on my ability to try to heal someone. It is not my ability to bring that deliverance.
No.
It is my authority mixed with God's ability that delivers somebody. But like what you said, he's saying, man, I've given you the authority. When he died on Calvary, bro, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave, man, and he came out and he taught his disciples for 40 days. And before he ascended into heaven, he gave the authority to all the believers.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah.
Bruh. God is not asking us to recover anyone.
Mm-mm.
All God is asking me to do, man, is to exercise my authority he has given me.
Mm-hmm.
See, I had the authority, Nick, to tell the credit, the little department store people at the counter that offer you to open up a store department credit card for 20% off. I had the authority to tell them no every time.
Every time.
Look, Nick, they want to put me in debt, and people are getting in debt every day over a 20% discount.
Yeah.
Nick, they get a 20% discount the day on their purchase of $100-something, and then they go into bondage for $15,000.
Yeah.
That's how it builds up. That's how it adds up, man. Listen, bro, because we so in carnality, we don't use our God-given authority and our ability to fix things ourselves. You shouldn't even be getting in
Absolutely.
That mess. Then, a few years down the road, you write hardship letters to the bank.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on, bruh.
Wow.
Bruh, man, I had to speak to myself saying, man, I'm not going to worry about my daughters. You know, they of age. My oldest daughter out on her own. And sometimes, man, when they were traveling sometimes, they traveling at night. Bruh, I wouldn't sleep, man. Listen, man. I wasn't going to sit up to worry about my grown daughter hanging out late. Look, I'm not worried about my grown daughter who lives out on her own and she gets herself in debt and then want me to try to bail her out. Look, man, if my daughter go and get herself in debt, I'm not bailing her out. Not when you've been raised up by some believers.
That's it.
Nick,
I got this thing, man.
Let me say this, man.
Okay, go ahead.
I got this. Man, I was thinking about, when we were thinking about this topic, man, I wanted to be a living example of a kingdom of heaven citizen on the earth. But that was just something that was in me. I wanted to demonstrate a life so somebody else could see somebody believing in God and trusting in God and having a life of love, joy, and peace. The life that I read about in this word, I wanted that love, joy, and peace and that balance in my life, man. Not saying that you can't go through things. I know you go through things, but I overcame most of the things that I went through. But I wanted to not just talk about it. I wanted to demonstrate it. I wanted somebody to see the life of a believer. Faith, I was thinking about this. Faith is a person having strength to get out of the way and I let God handle your wayward children and reward your children that are doing good. Okay, that might sound like something easy, but we do the opposite. Okay, look, faith is, I'm going to say this again, having the strength to get out of the way and let God handle your wayward children. And in turn, you reward your children that are doing good. Look, while you allow God to deal with your wayward children.
Okay.
My neighbor, his wife is an amputee. She had one of her legs amputated, like below the knee. Okay, I was talking with him, man, and he said this to me, man. He said, man, the hardest thing for him to do was to not go help his wife when she was in recovery and she was trying to learn how to do things on her own. And when she couldn't get something done or she couldn't do it on her own, she would cry out to him to come and help her, and he wouldn't go to help. He said, man, it was tough trying to ignore the cry of help from his wife when he could help her, but he didn't go and do it. He had to have the strength to allow her to suck it up and to push herself and do stuff on her own. Man.
Yes.
Bruh, now, today, the two of them are up before the cock crow in the morning walking the neighborhood.
Yep. That's awesome. You had to be dead to miss that. Good God.
Jesus has already fixed it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Well, hey, I got nothing to add to that other than we thank you so much for listening to us this week. We pray that you hear the Lord God and that you seek his face, that you read his word and read it slowly. Hey, go out into the community this week and show the love of God to some man, woman, boy, or girl. Let them know. Everything that you do, you point them to Jesus. Be strong, believe in yourself, and don't be afraid. Tune in next Sunday. to Pathways to Truth Radio, we will be discussing understanding the presence of God. Understanding the presence of God. Peace and blessings.